Welcome to Ready, Set, Write, helping writers win the publishing race. My name is Randy Lindsay, and with me here today is Brock Boer.
Hey, everybody.
So, Brock, what recent movies or books have you participated with and enjoyed?
I'm currently reading The Orphan Keeper by Cameron Wright, which is an excellent book. I really enjoyed The Rent Collector, one of his first books, and then this was a different book that I've enjoyed of his as well.
There's a news, thing that you can watch. It has a picture of his adoptive mom and biological mom hugging. It just brought me to tears.
And also a similar movie out that's a very similar story is called Lion, which I also highly recommend.
It just came on Netflix.
It did. It's fantastic. So,
okay, and also with us here is Jeanette Rallison. And same question for you.
Okay, I just read the book Detecting Deceit by Eric and Olivia Dupre, which I recommend to anyone who has teenagers or is a writer and looking for characters because it's about sexual predators. So it was kind of emotional and heart-wrenching, but I think really good.
What's the title again?
Detecting Deceit.
It's fiction or nonfiction?
It's nonfiction.
It's nonfiction. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Wow.
All right, and we also have Aaron Blaylock.
Hey, I just finished The Exiled Prince by Allison Peterson. You can't get it yet, but it comes out in September or October. I'm very much a tease. Mm. It will come out very soon. It's the third book in the Ian Quicksilver trilogy, and I enjoyed it very much.
So it hasn't come out, so are you getting paid to plug it?
I'm not getting paid to plug it, but she asked me to endorse it, and I wholeheartedly did. Good book, fun book. It's a fantasy.
Okay. And also, we have Chelsea Curran with us this episode.
Hello.
And same question for you.
I am currently reading The Lunar Chronicles by Marissa Meyer.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. And I'm on the fourth installment called Winter. And I would highly recommend it to not just the teen scene that's in the audience, but also to any young adult or, adult.
What genre?
Oh, it's like a sci-fi twist fantasy to all the
fairy tales
out there. It's super fun.
Ooh, nice.
It's actually really great.
Okay. So our topic today.
Did I go on? Yeah, come on. What have you read?
You're always trying to get out of this.
I know, I do. And then you guys catch me. Actually, I saw two movies recently that I felt were really good. And the first was Wonder Woman. And I thought that was lovely because we really had a wholesome heroine that we could look up to, and it focused on story rather than maybe some of the seedier sides of the superhero genre. And I love that, and I wish there would be more stories in that genre to follow that example. And then the other one was the latest Spider-Man.
I loved that.
And
so fun.
It was so good. And, for me, what I loved the best about it was Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah. Great
huge
villain.
Michael Keaton.
Great villain.
Yes. And yeah, that villain was so well done, and that really made that movie so good.
Without spoiling anything, that scene in the car.
Oh my gosh.
And they're just sitting in a car, and
fabulous.
The tension
was just unbelievable. Yeah. Fantastic.
And there's not too many times in a movie that I'll be sitting there, and something will happen, I don't go, really?
Yeah.
And it did. So I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm sitting there in the theater. Yeah. It happens. I'm
everybody
like,
in the, everybody,
I just
everybody,
did not see
yes.
that.
Oh, I tell you, everybody in the audience went, like that when that happened, and you're just going to love it. So,
right. I love how quiet the three of us are when they're talking romance, and then we go Spider-Man, and they're like,
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, like,
I'll
both go see it, and you will.
I did.
I knew. Both of you were like, meh.
I've seen Spider-Man 2 times already.
No. Go see the latest.
See Homecoming.
Have you seen Wonder Woman?
I've seen Wonder Woman. I agree on all accounts.
Oh, my goodness.
You absolutely
have to go see Wonder Woman. It was
fabulous. The ending gave me chills.
On my to-do list. Yeah. Everyone loves it. How often does that happen?
Rarely.
Rarely.
They did a great job. So our topic is, did your first book get published? Let's start with Jeanette.
Oh, okay. Well, mine's kind of long. Answer.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Wait a minute. Was this the 700 pages
poorly written pages?
No. No. This is...
When is that coming out?
Maybe never.
Maybe.
We don't know. When I get around to rewriting that. But see, that is part of the key, though, is that because your first project, when you sit down to write, is not going to be good. But I wrote so many things that I didn't finish that I actually had a lot of practice by the time I got around to actually finishing something. But I mean, it still wasn't my best work. When I got the rights back to it 16 years later, and I mean, there was still some good things about it, but I mean, there were so many things that I changed about it just because I had grown as a writer. But I remember at the time I sent it to two publishers, and one rejected it right away, as sometimes they do, and you think, you did not even have time to read this, I'm pretty sure. So they just rejected it, and I thought, what if this second one rejects it? Then I guess I can't be a writer, because I don't think I'm ever going to be able to write anything better than this. Like, this is my best work. I actually thought that.
And I got rejected twice. Oh, my
God. The second publisher actually published it. So, I mean, thank goodness, because, you know, maybe I would have given up or something. Because I thought, I know how to write. There's nothing left for me to learn, you know? Yeah. In all my naivety. This was before the internet and writing groups and everything like this.
But that's an important lesson, because I don't think that's exclusive to you, that feeling of, I have done this thing, which is great. Okay. You finish the book and you think, this is perfect.
This is the best I can do.
Yes, this is, and it's not.
Right. So, yeah, that is an important thing. I mean, it works really well in our minds because we wrote it. And we love the stories. We can see how the characters delivered those lines. And it could be a really awesome story. But you can still always improve. And so if your first one gets rejected, as most of them do, don't give up. You just go on and you write the next one and the next one. And maybe, you know, very often what will happen with authors is their fourth book gets published, and then the editor says, what else do you have? And they go back and look at those other books, and sometimes those get published. But very often, the funny thing, because I've been in writer's group for so long now, and I see people write their first book and send it out, and it doesn't get picked up. And you know, but they've gone on, and they've written their second or their third, and you ask them, well, what are you going to do with the first? And they say, I will put that in a drawer, and it will never see the light of day, because then they realize how badly it was written, and they don't want to work on it anymore. They just want to move on to other stuff. So that happens, too.
I know what you're talking about. You get better with it. I mean, I'm sure my fans have got to be tired of hearing, that last book I've written is my best book. But it is, because every book I write,
I'm better.
Yeah, I'm getting better. All right, so we're going to ask Chelsea, did your first book get published?
No, but my third one did. And actually, just like you said, you know, you think that you write the most amazing thing in the world, and then somebody rejects it. And I remember sending it out to probably 50 publishers and getting, I stopped counting after 20, I think. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? And then I decided to put it away, write more different stories and have different elements to it. And then the second one was really depressing. That's actually when I started to have actual experiences dating, writing romance. And realizing I'm not a good person when I'm writing this book. So halfway through, I stopped, and I ended up writing this third one. And it was the cutest love story that I've ever written, I think, so far. And that one was the one that got published. And so what's funny is I know you guys are members of ANWA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to my first conference last year and was inspired to pull that first book out of the drawer and think, okay, well, how can I fix this? Because I'm proud of this, what I did. I worked really hard on it. What can I do? And as I was reading through it, I thought of every single advice, how I just went against all of it as I was writing it. And so after reworking it, after chopping it up and piecing it back together, I finished it and I just sent it back out.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I'm hoping that first book will actually become my second, maybe.
Oh, good. And Brock?
Of course not. Nope, did not. And similar to Chelsea, though, I wrote, actually the first one I almost finished. It wasn't a complete manuscript. It's still in my computer and will probably never see the light of day. Mm-hmm. But the second one I wrote got rejected also. But the third one got published. And then I was, like Chelsea mentioned, I went back and I loved the concept. So I just started from scratch all over again with the concept, rewrote it. So now that I was a little bit better writer, at least I thought I was, and it got published. And so, you know, but even now I was just telling my wife last night, I go, I'm not that good of a writer. I mean, we just constantly struggle with our talent and struggle with this craft, and it's never going to be perfect. And you just have to accept that and keep working.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing is because, I had a friend who was a seamstress. She sewed beautiful things, and you'd walk into her house and go, "What awesome curtains!" And she'd go, "You know, this seam wasn't even this." She noticed all of the mistakes. Mm-hmm. I never noticed the mistakes. I thought she did everything wonderful. And I think as writers, sometimes we do that too. We notice, you know, we're hard on ourselves because, you know, it's not whoever we're comparing it to. But the readers who read it and who come to it fresh and are just looking for the characterization, the plot, a lot of times, they love it. Whereas we see all of the uneven seams.
I think that applies to critiquing as well. Because I'll notice in my critique group, I'll get comments on stuff. And I'm like, would you really actually say that if you were just reading a book for fun? You know, if my wife was reading it, she wouldn't notice this thing mm-hmm. because it's really not a big major thing. And we just train ourselves to look for any little problem or perceived problem with it. Right. So I think we tend to be overcritical right. in some situations.
Which we need to be because we want it to be the best that's possible. I have this novella that's due in a few days, and I've had beta readers reading over it. And one of them I started two paragraphs in a row like later that night. And I'm so glad that she caught that.
But the second one was a lot later.
And I was horrified. I was really glad because that would have bugged me mm-hmm. forever if that mm-hmm. had gone into print. And I don't know how many because only of the 10 beta readers who read it, only one of them
yeah.
highlighted that for me. So maybe the other ones didn't even notice that as a problem.
And I think that's probably one of the keys to knowing if the first book you've written is worth going out to publishers. Find someone who reads a lot and say, "Will you please read this and tell me if it's any good?" Because you can't tell.
Yeah.
You have a general idea. You think it's great because you wrote it, but right. you really can't tell. And then it's like watching American Idol and watching the people that are horrible get on stage mm-hmm. and try to sing. And I tell my kids, that person has no friends because a friend would have said, "Dude, you can't sing.
Do not.
Don't try this." But, you know, in writers, we need a friend like that who can say, "No, it's not attacking you as a writer. It's telling you that this piece of writing you have accomplished is not yet ready for publishing." Mm-hmm. So you can't give up on the article itself, and you can't give up as a writer, but you have to accept that maybe this isn't ready for publishing and it needs more work. And as disheartening as that is, that's also heartening because you say, "Okay, I can work on this," or you just go, "Okay, I'll start another one." But you save yourself the embarrassment of sending it to 45 publishers, raising my hand, and getting it rejected, and going, "Okay, I guess that wasn't as good as I thought it was." So,
or even worse. I mean, there's people who are very successful authors because of one book or the other, and then you read their next book or something mm-hmm. they've written, and it's horrible. And you think, why didn't the editor tell them that this was mm-hmm. bad?
Right.
But I think by that time they have a name, they have a following, and so the publishers just figure, well, people will buy it, and yep. they do. But I wouldn't want people to buy it and then go, "Oh, this wasn't any good."
Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. one of the downfalls, or the not downfalls, pitfalls of self-publishing, is you can rush something to print without getting a good peer review. And you've set the stage for who you are as a writer way too early, instead of just waiting and getting your craft organized so you know what you're doing and do a little bit better. It's a fine line trying to find that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely. All right, Aaron.
Yeah.
Was your first book published?
Yes. But I will say I had done a lot of writing where I didn't try to get published. I wrote a novella for my friends. I wrote a children's book for my children. I kept a blog for years. I wrote satirical stuff. I worked for the newspaper as a sports reporter for 10 years. And all the while I was working on my novel and I was working on getting better as a writer, I didn't put stuff out there on purpose because I knew it wasn't any good or that it was good enough for me. But I had this idea that I'd worked on for 15 years and I had I started it four times and threw it in the garbage four times. And the fifth time, I worked it through till I had a story that I was proud of, and then I put that out there. And then I thought it was no good because I got rejected by several literary agents, but I had sent it to two publishers. I told the first publisher, please don't look at it. It's not ready. And I forgot about the second publisher. And I started writing my second book, something totally different, like a palate cleanser, just something totally different that I wanted, an idea that I had that I wanted to write. And then 6 months later, because publishing takes a long time, they said, hey, we love your book and want to publish it. And I was like, awesome. It's totally not ready. Can I fix it? And I went back and I fixed it again before it came out. So yes, but that's a long yes. It was a long process.
Yeah.
I think it always is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my first book got turned down. I probably submitted, I don't know, 50, 60. And I got a very mixed bag of, I mean, I got the standard, you know, thanks, no thanks. But I got quite a few positive rejections saying this was good, but we're not sure we're right for marketing it, kind of thing. So I knew I was on the right track with that story. It has not been published yet. However, since then, so 8 years, 9 years, I have people all the time come up to me and say, Randy, have you published that race story yet? Because I have the pitch line for it, right? And everyone loves the pitch line, and they want that story. So I'm going to self-publish it this year. So towards the end of the year, it's going to come out.
So what's the pitch line?
Every 1,000 years, hell has a foot race to the gates of heaven, and the winner gets a second chance at life.
That's an awesome pitch line.
Yeah. So, and it's a good story. Lots of nice complications. And well, I think I did kill a few people.
Did you
already
dead? There you go.
No, I killed them again.
You killed them again.
You know, if they're already dead to begin with.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
So I actually killed hundreds of them in the book. So it was, you know, so it's very violent.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah. So
it's called Hellathon. You would expect that.
Yeah, it's called
the
Hellathon.
The title should tell you what you're in for.
Right. You should not be surprised when people die in this book.
You're like, what? I thought this was a romance.
Or if you've listened to this podcast, you definitely should not be surprised.
A couple of my dating trysts could be described. So, I'm just saying. Hellathon, it could have been so one of my romances.
I'm going to walk in slow motion.
Maybe I did.
I'm going to have it. I'm going to make sure I have it out for Comic-Con next year. So
all right.
That'd be great.
Cool.
All right. We are out of time. I'd like to thank Rich Wilson at Vibe for technical support on the show. I'd like to thank the listeners for taking the time to listen to us. If you'd like to send us a question or make a comment, you can reach us at ReadySetWritePodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you're more than welcome to leave comments in the comment section of the blog. So until next time, get ready.
Get set.
Write.
We thank you for listening. Technical support for this program is brought to you by Vibe, Visual Image Building Enterprises. Vibe is your resource for all your visual marketing needs through website design, video production, and social media management. Give you and your business a new vibe by contacting them at 480-353-1539 or by going to their website at www.vibeforbusiness.com. That's Vibe, the number 4, business.com.